Hi there, and welcome to the Dog Sports Decoded podcast. My name is Megan Ritchie, and I am the host. And today I thought I might share with you a book I stumbled across that I think might be of value to you or maybe to a friend of yours. So the book we're going to talk about today is Fetching the Perfect Dog Trainer by Katina Jones. I can't even really remember how I stumbled across this book, but it was on the Dogwise website, and they have a lot of really great kind of dog training books, and it really caught my eye. And so I guess the reason why, and why it might be of value to you, is, you know, if you've been involved in dog sports for a little while, inevitably you will have family members, friends, coworkers, somebody asking you to give them some advice on where they can find a dog trainer and who you would recommend. So you might have a training facility or two that you already like and would recommend, but often, you know, a family member or coworker might not live near you, so they can't go to the same training hall, but they're still looking to you for some advice. So I've struggled with that question in the past, so if you have as well, again, I think some of the information in this book is really handy, so I thought I'd share it with you. Now, to be fair to the author, I'm not going to go into everything in depth. I'm just going to recommend you pick up a copy of the book, but I did want to share with you some highlights and some things that really stuck out for me. So if you are kind of the opposite of that, maybe you're new to dog training altogether, so you're not looking to give advice to family members and friends, but you're kind of more interested for yourself where you can go and get a good dog trainer. Again, I think this book is very valuable, and I think she structures it really nicely in this book and explains, you know, what to look for. It really breaks it down. You know, I think often the more experienced you are, the harder it is to think about some of those important distinctions, which we'll get into here in a second. So so as I went through the book, there were a few different things that stuck out for me. So there's kind of six main things I'm going to cover that she talks about in the book, and then sort of one more takeaway from myself. So the first thing I really liked that she goes into is differentiating between the two types of training. So her terminology would be a little different than mine, but the gist of it was there's sort of behavioral training and then what I would kind of broadly call trick training. But so behavioral would be more like you have a fearful dog or an aggressive dog, or there's some other behavior that they're exhibiting that you do not like, whatever that might be. So you're looking for a trainer that will address those behavioral issues and help you resolve them so that you and your dog can live together a little bit more harmoniously. So that would be sort of the one type of training. And then the other type of training, which I'm calling trick training, really can encompass a number of things. But basically it would be you're going to give your dog a command or somehow indicate that you want your dog to do something, and they are going to perform a trick. So that could be sit, that could be lay down, that could be teaching agility, rally, any number of things. Could be protection sports, weight pulling, you know, anything, even dog sledding. So, you know, any sort of event, sport, trick, behavior, where you're sort of giving a command some way, shape, or form. That could be a hand signal, a vocal command, or it could even just be environmentally. But in that environment, you're expecting a certain behavior for your dog to do. So something like dock diving, I'm not going to actually tell my dog, okay, go jump off the dock, but the dog knows in that environment, that's what we're doing. When I throw the toy, that's going to be sort of their cue to go do whatever behavior I'm asking for. So they are two different types of training, and I really like that she does point that out in the book. So while I would say sort of my takeaway from the book, this might not be fair, but my takeaway from the book is it's more based on sort of finding that basic obedience class or puppy training class that you're going to start with sort of on your training journey. So I'd say that's my impression of the book, and that's what her focus is, but she does touch on another behavioral type issues, and again, I'll go into a little bit more about some of the different sports and explains that, which I think is really great. So again, you know, it's kind of a simple a simple thing, but as you're more experienced in dog training, it can be something that's easy to overlook when explaining to somebody new, and there is a difference. So, you know, a fearful Fido class is going to be very different than a basic obedience class. So it is important to distinguish between the two, and I really like that she pointed that out. So the other thing that the author kind of goes into, so point number two here, is what service is best for you. And she breaks this down a little bit further, but the gist of it is, are you looking for a private or a group class? So your private could be you working one-on-one with the instructor and your dog, or it could be more of a like a board and train, or the instructor just working with your dog themselves and then maybe giving you a little bit of the training information as well. But it could be either you working with a trainer or the trainer working with your dog primarily. So that would be a private class, which she's calling a service. So, but anyway, a private instruction, and then the opposite would be a group class, which typically would be anywhere from about 4 to 6 students and dogs in a class going through sort of a set curriculum. So obviously the instructors typically do vary the material in the class based on the owner's experience and what the dogs are showing, but typically it's a pretty set standard of things you're gonna go through. So if you happened to go watch, you know, 3 different puppy classes from 3 different instructors, you're gonna largely see the same tricks and techniques being used to teach the students and the owners. So you'll see a little bit more, I won't say standardization there, but you're following a set curriculum, and then there's a little bit of flexibility with that, where private sessions, you have a lot of latitude to deal with whatever issue you're dealing with your particular dog. And again, that could be behavioral, or it could be sort of more tricks based. So either or with that. So then the number three thing that I really liked about the book, as I mentioned, she goes into group classes. She does explain in the book here, I'm just going to open it up, what some of the different sports are. So they've got a really nice table there that just goes into what the different sports are. What class, and so it says class type, what classes typically include, and then additional benefits. So this covers puppy kindergarten, basic training, competition obedience, rallyo, fly ball. So it just goes into what all these different sports are. There's a couple different pages of that. And I think that's just really helpful if you're brand new to dog training. You may have heard about a sport, but you don't really know what's involved. And that table is just an awesome little summary that you can go through and go, oh, okay, that sounds good to me. That sounds good. No, I don't think me or my dog would like that. So it's kind of a quick, broad overview of what the sport or class is all about. And I think that gives you a really great insight into whether or not it will help you with your particular dog and the issues you're dealing with. So, of course, you probably will want to do some more research after that, but it's nice to kind of get that broad overview and just do a yay, nay, for me, not for me, and go through the list that way, see if there's something that's of interest to you, and then, you know, you can do some more research from there to find a class or instructor that will work for you. But I thought that was really handy. That brings us to sort of point number four in the book that I really like, and she really goes in, I won't say in depth, but explains very nicely what the certification organizations are. So there are professional designations for dog trainers. This is sort of a controversial subject, I'll say. There's no, as far as I know, I don't know anywhere in the world where you need a specific professional designation to train dogs. So it's not mandatory, it's not like a licensing requirement to train dogs, but there are a number of organizations that offer certification that try to ensure that sort of the general public can get a dog trainer that is up to date on today's sort of training techniques and meet some sort of minimum standard. So there's a few more common certification bodies, and she goes into just some depth about what those are, so you could look for them. And I know when I was first starting, it was very overwhelming. So she's got this in a few different places, but here on I think it's page 20, she goes into a few of the common ones. So she's got a quick little list there of just some common ones, and then what some of the certification names actually mean. So if you've ever seen a dog trainer, you might see a bunch of initials behind their name, like so. And this just explains what those initials mean and who the certifying body is. So I think she mentions this as well, but I will too. Those certifications don't necessarily mean they are a good trainer. It just means they've met whatever requirements that the certifying body has developed. And I think there's some bodies that are better than others. Some require, or some designations require sort of proof of working time, so you have to put in a certain number of hours training somebody else's dog. Others are more, I'll say, test-based, knowledge-based. Others you just sign up for and pay your membership fee. So there's a wide variety in there. And again, I think there's some that are better than others. I don't want to get into that, but and I don't think she goes in depth into it either, but she does recommend or does mention some of the common ones that are fairly well thought of. So I think, like anything, you have to take any trainer you're looking at, whether they're certified or not, you have to take whatever information they're giving you with a little bit of a grain of salt and do your own research. And that's not necessarily to find out if they're a bad trainer. I find often it's even just to figure out if they're a good fit for you. So for something like a puppy class, especially if you're totally new to dog training, I really like these certification bodies, because if you're coming into this and you don't know anything about dog training and what these initials mean and stuff like that, it'll give you a little bit of confidence that at least they've met some minimum requirement. So, you know, they probably don't have a, aren't barred from certain associations. They probably don't have a criminal background in animal abuse or something like that you have to worry about. I don't know, which organizations would require that, but it's going to give you a little bit of peace of mind that at least they've met some minimum standard. So I think for those types of classes, it's a good place to start. Like I said, kind of puppy and basic obedience, I think those are a really good place to start. So I'm glad she mentions them and kind of explains what they all are, because it can be a real alphabet soup trying to figure that out on your own when you're new. My one caveat kind of with that, and I'll get into it a little bit later, is I think sporting classes are a little bit different. So I would look for a puppy trainer or somebody like that, a basic obedience trainer that does have these certifications. And especially if you're looking at behavioral issues, there's certain behavioral certifications that a trainer can get. And I would definitely look for somebody both with a lot of past experience dealing with whatever issues behaviorally you're dealing with, especially in the case of something like aggression. You want somebody that has spent a lot of time, learning how to train those dogs safely, both for themselves and you and your dog. So I think those certifications are very important when it comes to those sorts of things. But for some of the sports, like I said, fly ball, disc, agility, I wouldn't put as much emphasis on that as far as certification goes. And I'll go into that again in a little bit. So number five to the book, kind of the tips I really liked in here. On page 23, I flipped to that really quickly, she's got a bunch of questions that she would suggest you ask for interviewing a prospective trainer. And this is something I kind of wrote about on a blog a few years ago, just a personal blog, and I had a really hard time with this particular subject. So I really liked how she laid this out. Again, I don't want to, steal from her material, so I would just recommend you pick up the book if you're interested, but some of these would be, do they use reward-based training or punishment-based training? Can you contact past clients? Can you watch them train, which is something I really highly suggest? And then a few other things, and some of them are kind of red flag issues, others are more just general questions to see if you think it'll be a good fit for you and your dog. But she goes into a bunch of really good questions like that. And I think that can be again, I would put more emphasis on that, probably on the behavior side. But it's important for all training. But just what can you ask a prospective trainer to get more comfortable that they're the right choice for you? And so she's got some really great questions. And again, just points out some different red flags that may or may not be an issue for you. So again, one might be the reward-based training thing. People have different views on that. I think most, the general consensus seems to be reward-based training is the best and fastest way to train most behaviors. But I know there's some people that are very much anti using any treats whatsoever. So if that's you, a reward-based trainer that uses treats is probably not going to be the best option. If you are fine using treats, then I would definitely suggest you use a reward-based trainer and avoid somebody that uses heavy punishment. So, you know, some of that is personal preference, and then other issues are going to just be more red flags. So, you know, if somebody's guaranteeing a certain result, well, nobody can really guarantee anything when it comes to training a dog. So they can't guarantee that you're going to do the work. They can't guarantee pretty much anything, right? Dogs have their own mind. So certainly that isn't a negative to a good trainer. A good trainer is not going to guarantee you anything because they don't know your dog. They don't know how much effort you're going to put into it. There's a whole lot of variables. So some of them are things you would ask, but maybe expect a, you know, if I was to ask, I'm just thinking of a friend that's a trainer, and if I was to ask her, could you guarantee, you know, my dog could sit at the end of 6 weeks, she probably would say, you know, yes, almost any trainer could guarantee that. But if I went in with an aggressive dog and said, can you guarantee my dog won't bite my kid after a week, would she guarantee that? Absolutely not. And that it would be a red flag to me if she did guarantee that. So kind of goes both ways, but I think Katina talks about that really nicely in the book, so I would recommend you have a look at that. And then she also goes into, I guess I kind of touched on this, but different training methods and terminology. So like I said, there's sort of positive training. These are just a couple bullet points that she has here. But positive training, clicker training, marker, reward training, balance training, dominance training, e-collar training. So just kind of goes into what all those are. Lure training. So a lot of that sort of stuff, which if you're kind of reading online, you know, different blog posts or things like that about what to look for in a puppy or an instructor or a puppy class, obedience class, you might hear all this terminology. And if you don't know what it means, again, I think Katina talks about this really nicely in the book and just sort of gives you a broad overview of what some of these subjects mean. So if you see it referenced somewhere else, you'll know what the instructor is talking about. If it's listed on their website somewhere, everybody's got a slightly different definition, but it'll give you kind of broad strokes. You'll kind of know what they generally refer to. So I think she did a really great job bringing that all together. So that's it that I really wanted to talk about as far as what was in the book. Again, I really liked it. I thought it's a hard topic to write about. I think especially the more involved you get in training, the harder it is to remember what it was like as that beginner that was just starting out that was going, well, what does this mean and what does that mean and what should I look for? So I think she did a really great job kind of summarizing all that. Again, it's something I've kind of struggled with in the past myself, so I can really appreciate what a nice job she did putting all that information together in kind of a small, it's like a quick little read, but a lot of information packed in there, so it's not too daunting if you're just starting out. So one thing I kind of mentioned earlier, I would say the book was more focused on, again, kind of that newer puppy owner. So you're looking for a puppy class, you've just rescued a dog, so you're looking for a basic obedience class or private training that's going to teach basically the same skills. So I would say it's mostly geared towards that. Again, touch a little bit on some of the behavioral stuff, but again, I would say more that newbie, either behavioral or more trick, I would say, what I would call trick training, but that would encompass just about everything else. So So I think that's sort of the focus of the book, understandably. So I just wanted to briefly mention, since many of you who are here are more interested on the sports side, kind of the one thing I would add to that. And I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I think it's a little bit different. So as I said, I would look for certain certifications if I was recommending, you know, somebody's looking at a training facility, something like that. A friend comes to me and says, hey, I'm looking at this facility to sign my dog up, and I would probably say, well, you know, what certifications does the person have, or have you heard, you know, listened to testimonials, like were they recommended to you? You know, there's certain questions I would ask. And likewise, if I was just like googling dog trainers in my area, that's something I would look for too, is to have certain certifications for those basic obedience and puppy type classes. But I think it's a little different on the sport side. So many of the sporting coaches I've seen, instructors I've seen, some of them, if they're full-time dog trainers, will have those certifications, but a lot of them, if they're sport-centered, will not have those certifications. So some of them, I would say a lot of the ones that I've met have regular 9-to-5 jobs. They're not full-time, you know, professional dog trainers. That's not what they do 8 hours a day. They train their own dogs. They're very active in a particular sport, and they're very good instructors, but they have not gone down that certification road. It's just not something that's commonly seen, I guess. So they might have it, but it wouldn't be a red flag to me if they didn't. So if I was looking for an agility instructor, it wouldn't particularly bother me if they didn't have, you know, a professional pet dog trainer certification. So what would you look for instead? I think what I would look for is somebody that successfully competes in the sport, or even better, if their students successfully compete in a sport. So I think there's kind of two important qualifiers there. Successfully would be one. So, you know, if they've done did a lot of agility, say 30 years ago, but they're not training and actively competing today and being successful on the courses that are being run today, that might be a little bit, not necessarily a red flag, but it might not be who you want to go to if you're hoping to show CKC or the Canadian Agility Association, something like that. You want an instructor that's familiar with the courses that are being put out today. And as I kind of just threw out there, the different associations. So you'd want to make sure, and if you don't have any idea, you know, for agility, it probably doesn't matter. If you're just starting out, they're going to go through the same basic equipment, things like that. So if you're not sure which association you want to show under, not the end of the world. Just make sure they're competing currently and doing well. That doesn't mean they have to be going to Canadian Nationals or competing internationally, but are they doing well on the local circuit? Does their dog look like they're having fun when they compete? Are they having fun? Are their students having fun? Are they seeing success? So they don't, like I said, they don't have to be national competitors, but are they competing and doing well at trials? And like I said, even better if their students are competing and doing well at trials. Because ultimately, you want to know that not only can they train and compete with their own dog, but can they pass that information on to you and can you succeed with it? So that would really be kind of the number one thing I would look at. From there, I would, sort of my baseline recommendation for any trainer you're thinking of working with would be to go and watch a class or watch, in this case, go watch them compete at a trial and just see how do they interact with the students, how do they interact with their students' dogs, and basically just, is it somebody you'd be comfortable talking to? So are you going to be comfortable asking questions in that class? Are you going to be, does their style work for you? You know, if they're super competitive, I won't say aggressive, but you know, really loud, boisterous, something like that. Does that work for your personality? Does that work for your dog's personality? So some people, that's going to be absolutely what they want. Other people, that's going to turn them off. So it's not to say they're a good or a bad trainer, but just personality-wise, does it jive with your style? And really, that would be the biggest two things I would look for. So one, are they training and competing successfully kind of today? And are there students? And number two, just go watch a class and see if they're compatible with you. So ultimately, I think for any trainer, whether it's behavioral, trick training, sport training, it really just has to be somebody you can communicate with, somebody you're not dreading going to their class or not dreading them coming to your house. You have to be comfortable with them and vice versa. So, you know, I think that meeting for me, like I said, when I wrote that blog post a couple of years ago, I probably had 52 recommendations, and today my biggest one would be just go watch a class, go talk to them. Are you comfortable talking to them? To me, everything else would fall out from there. Then I would go check certifications, or I would go to watch them at a trial, make sure they're kind of doing well, their dogs are having fun, all that sort of stuff. But if you don't jive, it doesn't much matter how good a trainer they are, whether their students do well. If you're afraid to go to class or not looking forward to going and working with them every day, it's just not worth it. You know, I think the sporting side especially should be fun. The behavioral side isn't always, and unfortunately there's not much we can do about that other than deal with whatever issues we're facing. But especially the sport side and kind of the trick side, the training side, if you're going to a puppy class, it should be fun. You should be looking forward to going, excited to get your questions answered so you can stop, you know, being frustrated with your puppy and all the silly things they're doing. To me, it should be something you're looking forward to and excited to go get the answers you need. So if that's not how you're feeling and that's not the vibe you're getting when you watch a class or watch somebody give instructions to a client at the side of a trial, I would say keep looking. And again, that's not that they're a bad trainer. They just don't jive with you sometimes. So those would be my kind of recommendations and my takeaway from the book. So again, that was Fetching the Perfect Dog Trainer by Katina Jones. And again, I picked mine up at Dogwise. I think that's dogwise.com. But just a really nice book. So if you're a trainer and often have, you know, friends or family coming and asking you questions, this could be a good resource just to give them some basic information or suggest they go pick up the book. Likewise, if you have a coworker or something, you know, easy to hand out your reference book instead of feeling obligated to spend hours online searching for the perfect dog training center for them. But the book does a really nice job of kind of summarizing some of the basics and making some really good suggestions for what you can look for in your next dog trainer. So I hope you found this helpful. I really enjoyed the book, and I've got a couple more that we might end up doing kind of some book reviews on as well. So let me know in the comments below if you found this interesting, helpful, liked it, didn't like it. Appreciate your feedback there. But if you've been looking for a new dog trainer or have struggled like I have to give recommendations to friends, this is a really nice handy book to give out. So I hope this podcast has kind of piqued your interest in it. Again, thanks for tuning in. I will catch up with you guys next week, and talk to you guys later.